the 5 steps of prayer. They're the steps that I think will help to organize and energize your prayers. Let me list out the 5 steps here again. And of course, we'll be going over them. It was praise first, confession and repentance after that, petition, request after that, worship and thanks, and then remember to stop and listen for his voice, right? So those were the 5 steps. And each of these steps are good in themselves. But when we bring them all together, there's great power in them. So last week, can we get onto the right slide there, honey? I shouldn't say honey. Reverson? He is my honey. Computer's going down? Okay. I'll let you catch up as we go. The first slide, the name slide is good. Thank you. So I got through the first 2 steps last week, praising him and confession and repentance. This week, I thought I was going to finish the 5 steps, but as it turns out, I'm not going to finish. Sorry. But we will get through request today, and then I will finish the final 2 steps next week. So that's where we are. So let's recap. First of all, the first step was praising Adonai. And it's not just to be done on Shabbat when we're scheduled and when other people are around us. It's something that we should do because we want to praise him. We want to give thanks to him. We should, in other words, use scripture to about, excuse me, other words that are used within scripture about praising him. We see bless, we see exalt, extol, glorify, magnify, and thanking him. I also said the whole point of praising him was to point out or call attention to his glory. Praising him could be something as simple as thanking him for the breath in our lungs, for creating everything. As long as we recognize who he is and what he's done for us and through us and to us. We heard that Yeshua used the words of Habakkuk against the Pharisees when the people were wanting to praise him and were saying out their praise towards Adonai, and the Pharisee says, no, only to, they were praying out their praise to Yeshua, and the Pharisees were going, no, only to Adonai. Well, Yeshua used the words of Habakkuk 2:11, which the Pharisees would have known, and he says, if they don't praise me, the stones will praise me, the rocks will cry out instead. So praise was the first. Confession and repentance were second. And I spent a good period of time on this last week because actually it's almost like 2 steps in this 1 step. It's 2 sides of the same coin. By confessing, we're agreeing with Adonai what sin is. And we also saw that in 1 John 1 that our cleansing of sins begins with confession. Then regarding repentance, it's the action of turning away from that sin and changing our ways. So I said confessing was a way of getting out of the shackles, but repentance was a way of staying out of the shackles. Because if we don't change our lives after getting out of the shackle of that sin, we're just going to be reshackled again. So we have to do both things. And that's hard. Absolutely. That may be the hardest part, not just of our prayer life, but of our life altogether. So there's a very quick review of the first 2 steps of prayer that I went over last week. I encourage you to listen to that if you haven't seen or heard it. That was last year. Praise and then confession and repentance. Now we move on to the 3rd step of prayer, which is petition or request. And we all know what a request is, right? It's an ask. I want or need something, so I go to the one that I believe can provide it. If I needed something to be built out of wood, I would go to a carpenter. If I needed a piece of clothing to be repaired, I go to someone who knows how to sew. A petition is something a little bit more formal than a request, but for today's discussion, I'm going to say they're essentially the same thing. So, remember last week I said that sometimes you're going to be in such a hurry in life that you really only have time for the one step. You really only have time for the ask, right? I'm walking into a meeting and all of a sudden, oh, Lord, help me in this meeting, or something along those lines. But, you know, even during the fastest request, the fastest part of that prayer that you make, you still have to have things lined up in your life. You still have to have these other steps somewhere in your life. You may not say them right there, but they still have to be there if you expect a positive answer to your prayer. As believers, we should all feel good about what will happen when we make a request of Adonai. Look what Yeshua says about our request in John 14, starting in verse 13. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, so that my Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. He says it twice. Yeshua says that anything you ask in my name, he will do it. In fact, how many people, after praying, finish their prayer with at the end, in Yeshua's name I pray, or in Jesus' name I pray, whatever you use? After all, didn't he just say that anything we ask, he is going to do it, as long as we ask in his name? But don't think just because you put a tagline on your prayer, in Yeshua's name we pray, that it means that now there's some kind of magic to your prayer. Now it's more special than other people's prayer. Now, no matter what I ask, he's got to answer. I said it in his name. He's got to do it. I believe that some will even use that as a closing, as if to say, you know, when we're on a two-way radio, over. Okay, it's your turn to pray. You know, we use it for that sometimes as well. Now, I'm not saying that it's a bad way to end a prayer, but I am saying be very careful how you use it. Don't think just because you've finished a prayer with, in Yeshua's name, I pray, that's it. That's all I have to worry about. Because Yeshua also just said about prayers being answered, so that the Father will be glorified. And is not glorifying the Father really what it's all about? I know a lot of people think it's about glorifying Yeshua, but what does Yeshua just tell us? He passes on that glory to the Father. It's all about him, all about the Father. So does that mean anything you ask in Yeshua's name is as good as done? So that it glorifies the Father? We have to keep the words of Yeshua's in context of where it came from and how it fits into everything. So let's look two verses prior in John. Right, we read John 13 and 14 where he said everything is ours if we ask. But John 14, 10 through 12 says this. Don't you believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father dwelling in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe because of the works themselves. Amen, amen, I tell you, he who puts his trust in me, the works that I do, he will do. And greater than these, he will do, because I am going to the Father. Yeshua links faith and prayer with alignment when he asked, don't you believe that I'm the Father and he is in me? This is an important question to ask yourself because it goes to whether our prayers will be answered or not. You must have faith in Yeshua, but also from where Yeshua came from the Father. You have to have faith in both. When Yeshua goes on to say, when you ask, it will be done for you. But you cannot take that. Oh, wait, I'm reading the wrong page, am I? Where am I? You got to have faith in both. Because if you trust, and if you have faith in Yeshua, then you will do as he does, as Yeshua does. And Yeshua just told us that he does not do anything, but he does what the Father does. And in fact, he says his words are the Father's words. Therefore, Yeshua's words and desires are actually the Father's words and desires. And if we speak the words and desires of Yeshua, then we're actually speaking the words and desires of the Father. So will the Father grant every request and desire we have? If we're aligned, then yes. Because then they're his desires as well. Just as Yeshua was sure that he was aligned and he knew the words of the Father, so we must also be sure that we're aligned with Yeshua. That we know his words. Because when we're aligned, then the requests from our hearts and mouths will not be those of our own flesh, but will be of Adonai. And he will answer yes and amen when we're aligned because they're his words. He has to, I'm not saying he has to, but he's going to want to because they're his words. He'll never go against himself. And the good news is we're not left to ourselves to be aligned with him. The Ruach is there to help us be aligned. The Ruach HaKodesh, which is why Shaul encourages us in Ephesians 6, this, Ephesians 6:18 says, pray in the Ruach on every occasion, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, keep alert with perseverance and supplication for all the Keshudim. When we do pray our request to Adonai, they should be with the Ruach so that we're aligned with them. If we are about to pray and your spirit says, hold on a second, what should we do? Hold on a second. If your spirit is stopping you for some reason, there's a reason your spirit is stopping you. The spirit within, or the Ruach, is the one who helps us from doing wrong in life as well as doing right in our prayers. He keeps us on track in our prayers. Our request can be for things that we need ourselves, but they're also intercessions for other people, right? They're for those who are already believers as well as for those who need salvation. Those who don't know Messiah yet. And yes, even for the needs of non-believers as well. because we serve an awesome God, he will answer those prayers as well when we set them up. He's awesome. He's merciful. He hears our prayers. About all of his creation, he hears our prayers. So I ask a simple question. When our prayer requests are not answered, or when are our prayer requests not answered? I should say it that way. When we're not speaking the words of Yeshua because our ruach isn't aligned with him in this request. When we speak or request that which should never be asked, we should not expect a positive answer. So if this is the alignment of the ruach and we're asking over here, don't expect that to be answered. It's not in alignment. But then when we do ask in alignment, always expect them to be answered. Always. Out of alignment, never expect it. In alignment, always expected. I believe the actual purpose, in fact, of making requests is not so much that they get answered, to be honest with you. And that sounds strange. But what you do with the answer to that request is important. And that's the reason for our prayer requests. Look at Psalm 50. And what Adonai says about requesting to him. It's a short verse, Psalm 50, 15. Call upon me on the day of trouble. When I rescue you, you will honor me. When you call on him, when he answers, then we are to honor him or give him all the glory, in other words. Why give him the glory? It's to show our appreciation, but it's also to show others so they will see and believe. It's to build up others in faith. Look what happens when Yeshua is departing Jericho, and he heals two men. Jericho 20:29, Matthew, not Jericho. Matthew 20:29. Now, as they were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. And here, two blind men sitting by the roadside, when they heard that Yeshua was passing by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Master Ben David." The crowd warned them to be quiet, but they cried out all the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Master Ben David." Yeshua stopped and called out to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" he said. They said to him, "Master, let our eyes be opened." Moved with compassion, Yeshua touched their eyes. Instantly, they regained their sight and followed him. What do we know about these two men? Really nothing, other than they were blind. Were they already followers of Yeshua? Had they heard before and believed? We don't know. I don't think that the blind men knew that they would be used to glorify Adonai. All they knew was they wanted their sight back. The request was within alignment of Adonai, in that it would bring glory to him and not be used solely for the use of the men without a testimony that was going to be attached to it. The testimony that came out of it was that Adonai healed with the touch of Messiah Yeshua. We don't read that they repeated the story afterwards to anyone who knew them when they were blind and helpless, or to those who didn't know him before they were blind. And they could say, "Look, I used to be blind, now I'm not." We only know that they were included within Scripture to give him glory and to provide evidence of who Yeshua is. I bet that those two did give glory to Adonai wherever they went, but I also know that the story of the healing is in Scripture and it gives glory to Adonai. This is This is always what miracles are about, both in Scripture as well as now in life today. Remember the story of Elijah in 1 Kings? I think I went over it even last week a little bit. He went against the 450 priests of Baal. He had the priests of this false god get ready a sacrifice. And he said, I'll tell you what, we'll both make sacrifices. If your god takes the sacrifice in fire, then he must be God. But if my God does, he is really God. We'll test. Let's see which one's really God. So the priests of Baal do all sorts of things, right? They yell and they scream and they cut themselves and they dance and they everything they could. And well, Elijah was a little less, a little less kind to them, teasing them. Yell louder. He's just sleeping. He may be away. You know, what do we know? You know, you're God. Well, after the priests of Baal were not answered, Elijah took his turn in 1 Kings 18. We read this starting from 1836. Now it was time of offering up the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, and I want to stop there for a moment because I always love this. Now it was time for the evening sacrifices. He didn't offer an evening sacrifice just at any time. He waited for the right time. That's kind of important there. Now it was time for offering up the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Adonai, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, Adonai, answer me so that these people will know you. Adonai are God. And that you have turned your heart back again. Then the fire of Adonai fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood, the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their face and they said, Adonai, he is God. Adonai, he is God. Elijah came with his request and being aligned with Adonai, asked for a miracle so that the people would return to Adonai. And they did. The request was not to glorify himself, but to glorify Adonai. It aligned with Adonai's desire that none of his people should perish without knowing him. And we are to learn from prayers that are answered in Scripture as well as in our life today. We have to be aligned. Also, we can and should learn from what appears to be unanswered prayers in Scripture and in our own lives. There are some who would ask the question, is there ever a time that Adonai doesn't answer a prayer? I think when a prayer seems to be unanswered, the problem really is that the one praying does not want to hear what Adonai is saying. Adonai will answer, but the answer may not be what you really want to hear. And sometimes the answer that he gives can sound a lot like silence. You know, we become like children. Can I? Will you? And the silence is the answer. But instead we go, can I, will you? Why aren't you listening? I'm asking, can I, will you? And as parents, what do we say? I gave you the answer. You're not listening. Because as children, we want to say, but you're not listening to me. I heard and I listened. our Father Adonai listens and answers. Even when Yeshua prayed that he wouldn't have to go up onto the stake, he prayed and it appeared that Adonai didn't answer for some. Yeshua prays 3 times that the cup would be removed from him. 3 times. And it looks like he doesn't get answered. Now, there are those who say that this is the start of the separation of Yeshua and the Father because the sins of the world are already placed upon him. And I don't know about that. Maybe, I don't know. But we still can learn something about how to react to what appears to be an unanswered prayer. Matthew 26:36. Then Yeshua comes with them to a place called Gethsemane and tells the disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And he took along Peter and Zebedee's 2 sons, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And he tells them, "My soul is deeply grieved, even to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little bit further, he fell face down and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." We read on that he asked 3 times but did not hear an answer. What do we learn from this? Even if you ask multiple times and do not hear the answer, there's an answer in the silence. Yeshua knew the will of the Father and therefore completed the task. He asked and was given the answer, and there was but one way. He had to die to pay for the sins of the world. Yeshua's flesh didn't want to go to death on a stake. It was clear by the 3 requests that he made to stop it. But he wanted God's mission for him to save everybody, to succeed. He wanted God's will to be done, even if that meant the situation that he didn't want to go through himself, he was going to go through. He prayed 2 things, actually, at Gethsemane there. That he would not have to suffer a painful death, first. Second, what happened? What did he pray? That Adonai's will be done, which it was. In the silence was the answer, which Yeshua understood because he knew the Father's will of the situation. We have all been in situations that we don't want to go through, but know that it needs to be done. We turn once again and ask, "Are you sure?" And there's no reason for a verbal answer because we already know the answer. So it was with Yeshua. Yeshua knew because of his relationship with his Father. And so it is with us also. In order for Adonai to answer the request from you, you must have a relationship with him first. Then he can take the request. Then you can trust that he'll do the right thing with the request. And that's important that he will do the right thing with the request. The purpose of your request is not to tell Adonai what to do, but to show Adonai your love and your dependence upon him. And based on that love and dependence, we ask him to do what's best in the situation. What's best may not always be what I think is best. What's best may not always be what I ask, but he is going to do what's best. The problem is that sometimes with this problem, we take it to Adonai. And we go, "Look, Adonai, here's my problem. Take it, please, and answer." And then what do? We take it back with us. We see it all the time. We ask for things, but then we take it back. People, especially during this season that we're in politically, They pray about President Biden. They pray about Donald Trump. And then what do? They say, oh, I'm so worried, because they've taken it back. And they're the one holding on to it. They don't leave it there. And they worry, and they wonder, and they worry, well, why is my political opponent not destroyed yet? Maybe that's not the will of Adonai. It doesn't matter which side you pray about. Maybe Adonai is going to have his way no matter what we pray. The point is, don't focus on what you want. Focus on his will be done. Yeah, let him make the ask. But make the ask aligned, and then focus that his will be done. Place your trust in him. And if you do, then the weight of the request should come off our shoulders. We should no longer worry about it. That's not to say that the situation is going to resolve itself the way you want it to, but it's going to be resolved the way he wants it to. Therefore, the weight should be off our shoulders, because we're no longer holding on to it. We've given it to him. The problem with flesh, though, we don't always open our hand and hand it to him. We hold on to it. We go back, still holding on to the request, instead of leaving it with the Lord. We need to remember what we say each week here in the synagogue, the Matovu. The Matovu is actually from Psalm 69, verse 14 or 13 in your English versions. But as for me, my prayer to you, Adonai, is for a time of favor. O God, in your great love, answer me with the truth of your salvation. We say each week, as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation. We're calling upon Adonai to hear our prayers and answer them out of his love, which brings salvation. It brings answers to our prayers at the right time. We're hoping that our prayers are at the right time. When we say the Matovu together, are we just saying words because they're on the screen? Are you saying them because they're already in your heart, or you want to get them into your heart so that he will answer? So that we know that he will answer. And when he does answer, it's his will that will be done, and not our own will that's going to be done. So now we've completed the first three of five. The first three steps of prayer. The first was praising him. Then we had confession and repentance. And now we just went through request. Next week, I will finish up the five steps. All right? It's funny. I wrote in my script here, I hope to finish. No, I will finish. I pray that I finish, but it's God's will. You know. Okay. But we thank him that it's always going to be his will. Regardless of what we ask, it's always going to be his will that's done. And we should be happy with that. Not happy that our will is going to be done. Not that the answer is always going to be yes and amen. But it's always going to be yes and amen, because it's my will, Adonai says. Amen? Father, we thank you that your will always be done. We thank you that you hear from us. We thank you that we can speak confidently because we're aligned with you. Ruach HaKodesh, help us to be aligned. Help our spirit be aligned with you. Help our spirit be aligned with Yeshua. Help our spirit be aligned with Yeshua, who's aligned with the Father, who who will answer every single prayer. And always with always with your will being done. That is the basis of every prayer we should shoot up. Here's our request, your will be done. It's not a way of saying that we give up on our prayers, just do what you want, Lord. It's a way of saying, Lord, may we be lined up with you and our requests be aligned so that your will be done, so that our actions will be what you want done. Father, we just thank you. Ruach, we thank you that you helped to align us. Father, we thank you that you've listened to our prayers and answered each and every single one of them. And everyone said, amen and amen. That's our desire.